Gracious God, our Father in heaven, so thankful we are, Lord, when we can be in thy house and we can have thy word before us, and we have uttered prayers both collectively and privately unto thee, Lord, that thou wouldst bless us and that our gathering together would be fruitful. Lord, that we would do what thou wouldst have us to do, and that we would contemplate and think upon thy word and reflect on how good thou hast been to us and all the things, Lord, that thou hast done for us in giving us even thy Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we just pray thee, Father, work thou in our hearts, bless us one and all, for we pray this and ask it in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. For this afternoon's reading, let's turn to the Old Testament and read from Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3.
Nađem da se pročita iz druge knjige Mojsijove, treća glava.
Now Moses kept the flock that Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees.
O God, our Father, who art in heaven, we have assembled in thy name. We have read this chapter as we have opened thy word, and we bow before thee, bringing our prayer, our petition unto thee, the living God. As we have read this chapter, Lord, our thoughts go back, way back to the time when we see, O Lord, thy servant Moses, who is being commissioned to lead thy people, whom thou wilt redeem out of slavery and unto freedom, taking them out of slavery of Egypt and unto a good land. Thou, O God, who has redeemed us, thy redemption is always to take something such as thou didst do with Israel, so with us. Thou saved us from our sin unto holiness and righteousness. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we could see through Moses, that we could see through our own lives, that we are unable to do anything. It is thy work when we submit unto thee. Even as thy servant Moses, who 40 years prior to this occasion that we have read had sought to redeem Israel on his own as he slew the Egyptian, and he had to flee, and he fled from the Pharaoh for 40 years, and now, O Lord, it was his time, and thou, O Lord, called him. And he realized that he is unable. Who is he to do the task that thou hast commissioned him to do? As thou didst with thy servant David, who was able to slay a bear, who was able to slay a giant, was hunted through into caves and until he came to the realization that he is nothing without thee. And so, O Lord, we also are nothing without thee. We oftentimes rely upon our own energy and strength and wittiness and knowledge, and we find ourselves running into walls and dead ends. And Lord, the answer to life in all things is hidden in thee, plainly for us to see if we would crucify self and come unto thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thy word would go forth in this afternoon, that the meditation upon thy word would be uplifting to each of us, that as we have gathered together in thy name, thy presence is here. O Lord, it is up to us to simply cast off the thoughts of this life, to feel thy presence, to bask in thy presence with us, to feel thy nearness and thy spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would help us to redeem the time, to the days that are given unto us, that we would not let them slide by idly, but that we would, O Lord, worship thee in spirit and in truth, giving of ourselves unto thee, and that thou, Lord Jesus, would guide us and instruct us in all of thy ways. We pray, O Lord, for forgiveness where we trespass against thee, where we have allowed the hidden works of darkness to come back, to cause disruptions in our walk with thee and in our communion with thee, O Lord. We pray that that would show us in this day exactly as we are, that we would take off this veil of self-reliance and belief that we are good enough and that we are secure eternally. Oh yes, O Lord, that security is eternal and is very real for all who are transformed. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would help us to live these lives of holiness and righteousness before thee. We pray, Lord, for each soul who is gathered with us in this day. Lord, what a joy has filled our heart from early in this morning when we saw the children of thy children coming together with us. We lift them all in prayer, O Lord. We pray that thou would prick their hearts, that thou would speak directly to their heart. O Lord, we know that thou art always speaking to them, but that they may hear, that they may hear thee. For thou, O Lord, has often said, who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so that they would simply open their heart and their ears unto thee, O Lord, that thou will speak to them and show them that without thee their life is meaningless. That without thee, O Lord, there's no hope. But that we would all, O Lord, put our trust and hope in thee, and that thou, O Lord Jesus, would lead us. So we commit this service and this hour into thy care, into thy keeping, O Lord, that thy Spirit would brood over us in this afternoon and prod us and prick us, and that we would, O Lord, listen to thee, and that we would allow the transmittal of that power to come into our heart, to live by the power of Jesus Christ. So abide thou with us and bless us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is a familiar passage of Scripture to many of us as we have read this, even from days of Sunday school, how that the Lord had spoken to Moses through this burning bush, and how God had revealed himself to Moses and had spoken to him and began to establish a very, very strong relationship with Moses. And there are many things that we can get from this a chapter such as this, but perhaps a thought that I would like to focus on this afternoon is how that at this point in time, the Lord God had established a relationship with Moses, and from this time forth, God was with him, and God was interacting with him, and God was speaking to him, and interacting with him all along the way, even through very difficult times and all along the way. The Bible says that their relationship was so close, the Lord God and Moses, that it says, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. This is the relationship that they had, a very precious relationship. And it comforted Moses. It gave him the strength. It gave him the power. He didn't know how to do things of his own, but knowing that God was with him, that they had this union and this closeness together, that gave Moses the confidence as he would be tasked to a great activity that he was given to do. And so it says here that at the beginning here, and even as was brought out in the prayer, that Moses had been raised in Pharaoh's house and had a good upbringing, and then he slew an Egyptian because an Egyptian did something evil to a Hebrew. And so when it was found out that Moses had slain the Egyptian, that the king was searching for Moses and wanted to take his life. And so he left and came out here into the wilderness and married one of the daughters of the priest of Midian, And now he is here and he's keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. And he's in this desert part, and it speaks that he's come to this mountain of God, to Horeb. He's come here, and he's watching the flock of his father-in-law here in this location. And there are some that say that Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai are the same mount. There are some that say that they're not the same mountain. But nevertheless, it was the mountain of God, as is laid out here in the first verse. And it says that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burnt with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Something miraculous happened here, and Moses was taking note of it. And he's saying something's odd or unique about this. And so he goes to investigate, and it says that God called out to him and said, Moses, Moses. And he responds saying, here am I. He's now being called by God, and God is speaking to him for the first time. And God tells him, draw not nigh hither, but put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. This is something that God was now revealing to Moses. This wasn't now anymore just a location out in the desert or a wilderness where the flocks could be fed, but this was a place now that was sacred. It was holy ground. And so God is revealing himself to Moses. He's saying, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And so Moses now becomes very reverent and awestruck by interacting with God. It's a very special thing. And he was afraid to look upon God. And so the Lord is now explaining to Moses what was happening. He's saying, I've seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. God already was making a way to relieve the children of Israel as they were in Egypt, being bound by very difficult circumstances as slaves. And he says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up unto a land, unto a good land and large, a land flowing with milk and honey. So there was the area where he called Abraham to, that God was going to lead now the children of Israel back into this land, to where he had foreordained that they would dwell. And he's saying, the cry of the Israel has come up to me. And so he speaks to Moses, and he gives him a task. He says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh. This was something that God had now, in establishing this relationship with Moses, he was giving him a task, a duty, something to do. He's saying, I'm calling you, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou might bring forth my people out of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses, in his humility and in his meekness, he responds by saying, who am I? Who am I? I'm not eloquent. We read that in the next chapter. He's saying, I don't have it. I don't have eloquence of speech. I stammer with my tongue. I have a very difficult time with that. But God used that. God could use him. And God worked it through him. And then he says, In verse number 12, certainly I will be with thee. These are the key words here. God is telling Moses, I will be with thee, certainly. You can be assured of this. You can't do it of yourself. I will be with you. I will be with thee. And so therefore, there's this relationship between Moses and God developed. And they were together, and they spoke one to another, face to face, as a friend speaks with his friend. And so that gave Moses here a lot of comfort. And he says, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people of out of Egypt, ye shall serve the God upon this mountain. And so it was that the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, and before the Ten Commandments were given to Moses there on that mountain, it says that the mountain burned, and there was smoke, and it was a great and a fearful thing to behold. And so that happened years later, after the plagues were all accomplished, and the Egyptians let the children of Israel go from their land. And so Moses is saying, well, how can I go to these people? How can I tell them that you sent me? And he asks for his name, and he says, I am that I am. And we realize that God is throughout all eternity, God the Father, and Jesus his Son as well, and that Jesus even of himself said that he is. Before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. And so he says, tell the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. It's very interesting that this event that happened when all the children of Israel, very many of them, went across out of Egypt through the dividing of the waters of the Red Sea and into the wilderness of Mount Sinai, and then eventually up into the land of Israel, that piece of history is still known today. It's still known to all mankind. And so this fulfillment of what God had said had happened, that this is my memorial unto all generations. It will be remembered to all generations. And so he's saying, go tell the elders of Israel, get them together, and you'll go to the king of Egypt. And God brings a prophecy to Moses, and he says, I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. God knew that what was going to transpire. He knew the heart of Pharaoh. And even Pharaoh said of himself, he said, who is God that I should obey his voice? Pharaoh certainly did not have a relationship with God. Moses did. And so God said, no, the king of Egypt, he will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And it was so that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, would not let the children of Israel go. But God says, but I will stretch out my hand. Pharaoh thought he had a mighty hand, but God is saying, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. After that, after Pharaoh sees who in fact the Lord is, then he will let you go. And then he continues on, and he says, I will give this people favor in the sight of Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. So God is saying, I will do this. He says, I will stretch forth my hand. Moses was to be the mouthpiece. Moses was to say the message of God to let the people of Israel go to do their sacrifice in the wilderness, to do their form of worship. But God was going to do the work. So God is saying, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders. It wasn't Moses' hand. It wasn't Moses' wonders. It was God's. He says, which I will do in the midst thereof. God was going to do the actual work. God was going to do that which would change make everything different. Make everything different. And so it was that Moses had begun and now had done what God had asked him to do, and their relationship grew and blossomed, and they spoke one to another, and the Bible also says that Moses saw his back parts as well. Moses was there with God here in this chapter. In Mount Horeb, he was there with God when God introduced and showed himself to Moses. Then later, Moses was on Mount Sinai when he received the Ten Commandments. And then much later, Moses was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus as well. And so we see that Moses played an important part in the role of what God would have for the children of Israel, and that they would understand the love that God had for all the children of Israel. As God heard the oppression that the children of Israel had there underneath their taskmasters in Egypt, And God rescued them even with a mighty arm. So Moses had this relationship with God. They spoke one to another as a friend speaketh with a friend. And Jesus also had that relationship with his Father as well. They were one as well. Jesus in the Gospel of John says, I and my Father are one. He says, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. We read this morning of how Jesus was with God and a part of God and going back to God. And then we read in Christ's intercessory prayer that where he says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come unto thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And so it was that Jesus now is getting ready to ascend, to give his life and ascend back to the Father, and he's praying for his disciples and for all that would believe on him, that they may be one. Moses had a relationship with God. Jesus was one with God, and Jesus is praying that we also might have that beautiful relationship, that we might be one with God as well, with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. That the Father would keep through his own name those that thou hast given unto me, that they may be one as we are one. And then he says later that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That we would be one. This is Christ's prayer for us. That we would be one with the Father. That we would not only be with him, but that we would also be in him. That's just a beautiful prayer that Jesus had for us, that we would be in him as Jesus is in him, and that we all may be one. This morning we heard about the way of Jesus Christ and how we are to abide in that way. Last Wednesday night we heard about abiding in the vine. If the branch is not connected to the vine, it cannot survive. There needs to be this union. There needs to be this relationship. And that seems to be a theme that has been brought to our church, that we would understand that God is looking for a relationship with us, that we would be one in him, that we would have that closeness with him as Moses had that closeness with him. As Jesus is saying that we need to be abiding in the vine. That we would build upon this relationship that God has designed for us and desires for us, that we would have that in our lives, that we would recognize that the relationship that we have with our Lord is of utmost importance in our lives. In the previous chapter, Exodus chapter 2, it says the name of Moses' wife, and it says the name of Moses' son. But his relationship with his father was of the greatest importance. And so likewise for us, we have relationships in this life, but of the greatest relationship that we should have in our lives, that we should place the most emphasis on, is our relationship with the Lord. That's what he's calling us to. He will bless us in all aspects of our lives and all our other relationships, but he wants our relationship with him to be strong, that we would know him, that we would pray to him, that we would acknowledge him as God and thank him for all that he does for us, and then knowing that God has an interest in our lives, that the things that we would pray for and make supplication for, that he would grant it to us. And so he speaks back to us through his word. And he wants that relationship to build and to blossom and to flourish and to be strong and to be the most important thing in our lives. Abide in the vine, we were exhorted. Live for the Lord. Be in the way. Die to self. Live anew in Jesus Christ. This is what we're being exhorted to, that we would walk in the ways of the Lord, that we would establish this close relationship as Moses had this close relationship with God, that we would likewise have that relationship with him. Things may never return to a normal in our lives, but what matters most is that we develop and flourish in our relationship with our Creator. This needs to be placed in as most important in our lives. This morning we read that Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the truth. And we read in John's epistle where he says, "The truth which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." Jesus Christ, to dwell in us and to be with us. Not only to be alongside of us. We think of a special relationship where one might be alongside of us. But in the relationship with the Lord, that he is not only with us, but he is in us as well. And that he would fill us in all. We read this morning that Jesus was going to the Father, but he was going to leave his Spirit with us. That he would be in us, and that he would be with us, and that he would bring to our remembrance the Word of God. And so it's very important that we remember that he is with us, that he dwells with us, and he will be with us forever. And this is what's most important in our lives, is developing this relationship and flourishing in this relationship with our Lord, with our Maker, with the one who redeemed us, the one who loves us, the one who has given unto us all things. This is a message that seems to be going out clearly to each and every one of us, that we would develop and build this relationship that we have with the Lord as taking the preeminence in our lives. Truly, there are many things in our lives that are happening, but our relationship with the Lord is always there and first and foremost, and that we might ever remember that this is just the wilderness that we're passing through, but we have a home in heaven. And this is what God is calling us to. There's a familiar verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where this invitation to have this strong developed relationship with the Lord is open for all. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." This is that beautiful relationship that Jesus is calling us to. It's far more than just a transactional thing. A relationship goes far beyond that. A relationship understands the needs and all that goes into a relationship that's well-developed. It's far beyond just transactional. The children of Israel in times past, they would sin, they would offer a sacrifice for their sin, God would forgive them, and then they would do it again and again. That was a transactional relationship. But with a relationship with the Lord where we know that he's full of mercy, he loves us, but yet in his love for us, he also chastises us. And we understand that in that relationship that we have with him. And we're thankful for that. Because the Bible says if we receive no chastisement, then we're not his sons or his daughters. A beautiful thing that if we hear the voice of Jesus Christ, wherever we're at in life, that we can open the door of our hearts and Jesus will come in to us and will sup with us and he with us. We with him and he with us. Such a beautiful thing to have a blossoming, strong, well-developed relationship with the Lord. That when things go awry, things go wrong, that we're still good with God. We're still in the palm of his hand. We still understand him. We're still blessed by him. We still have the assurance of eternal life. And that nothing would move us. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is the developed relationship that he wants to have with each and every one of us. And he's inviting yet again, and he's reminding us yet again, abide in the vine that you might bear much fruit. We do this through faith and obedience. We heard that Wednesday night. That's how we abide in the vine. We do that through faith and obedience. We have a home in heaven that's been prepared by nobody less than Jesus Christ. It's prepared for us when we take up our cross, deny ourselves, and live for him, and do what he would have us to do in obedience. This is what God is calling us to. It's far more than just a transactional relationship. I go to church, I get blessed. No, it's far deeper than that. Far deeper than that. God is calling us to something greater, to a far richer life in him. The blessings will be worth it. Amen.
Consider that Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He would, by all accounts, as we would think of his earthly life, we would say that he had it made. He was the Pharaoh's son. He was raised as his son. But it tells us that in Hebrews, it tells us that he, by faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The devil is a liar. The devil will never leave us to believe that sin is just for a moment. He said here it's pleasures for the pleasure of sin for a season. The devil will want us to indulge into just once. But he knows at once he's got a tighter grip on this. The grip tightens when it's just once. It doesn't loosen up. And so when we yield into temptation, brothers and sisters, what do? We reject Christ. That's ultimately what we do. We reject him and listen to the deceiver. Paul says of sin, he says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. David was deceived. He thought committing adultery would have been the thing for him at that moment. And that's what the devil does. He disguises, he deceives, he makes us believe that something is worth it to do this, just this once, or just, it's not that great. Deceives us into believing something. And he wants to take away the guilt of it. So he takes away the guilt of sin. He tries to lessen it. You lessen it by comparison. We compare. Reason, go back and forth. We lessen the guilt of sin in our minds. That's deceitfulness of Satan. Moses, we have to look at where he came from. He came from Pharaoh's house, and he said no. 40 years, he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. What is our choice? Is our choice to suffer affliction with God and his people? Or are we headlong into sin, masking it, listening to the deceiver, making it sound not so big as we allow all Moses, the Pharaoh's son, raises Pharaoh's son, the meekest of men, it says. The meekest of men. Sometimes I wonder if we even know what meekness is. And not talking about just dress, it's everything about us. Do we even know what meekness? He's the meekest of men, but he grew up in the Pharaoh's home. And where does none other than the Lord Jesus find him? In the desert. From the Pharaoh's house to the desert. But he chose that way. He'd rather do that than enjoy sin for a season. And we see Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. What a beautiful story of a man who devoted himself, gave himself, realized that he cannot do anything on his own, but also realized that the temptations that Satan gives. So when we yield to the temptations of Satan, we are saying no to the mercies of God. The unfathomable beauty that is found in Christ, we say no to as we embrace Satan and his lies. And so we have an example of a man that we have read here. And even he had to be reminded, who chose all these things. When Jesus spoke to him from the burning bush, he said, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. We sang the hymn, three times holy God, holy, holy, holy. Do we even know what holiness means anymore? Are we just getting subdued into a slumber as we read his word and consider our own lives and where we're at? So may God bless the reading and the meditation of this word on each of our hearts. And let's look at the example of a man who loved his Lord and followed him. And we see the Lord who never gave up, never forsook him, was always with him. Even in those 40 years of isolation in the wilderness, Christ was with him. And so, dear ones, whatever valleys we go through in life, we have to know that Jesus' promises are sure. He is with us. And so may God bless his word upon each of our hearts in this day. Amen.